What do you expect? What do you want from me? Man, trying to live up to people's expectations can be a bit of a drag. And when we feel we're not sure what's expected of us, that can be even worse. We're going to talk about expectation, obligation, and a little bit of adulting right here on the Corner of Truth and Life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and well, I'm not a huge fan of the term, and I don't know if you've heard it or not, but there's a term that's been around for a little while now called adulting, and gets used in a lot of different contexts. I don't know if it's a millennial term or the generation after the millennials or what, but it usually the concept, the usage of the term adulting usually means that you've had to do grown-up things. And today I was adulting. Today I had to adult. And it usually just means doing things that you do. Now, I'm probably showing my own age and being a bit of a grumpy old man, I suppose. But when I look at it, I'm like, well, it's called growing up. Come on. And I get a little grumpy old man on it a little. Because it's like, oh, I had to pay bills or I had to do this. And it usually comes down to being responsible or fulfilling certain adult responsibilities. And, you know, that can be less fun than being a kid still and being irresponsible or young and carefree. And of course, in earlier generations, some of what now gets called adulting, we used to call, hey, you know, it's cool, I finally get to be a grown-up. And but as our culture has more and more kind of wanted to hold on to the, not just youthfulness, but irresponsibility almost, adulting has become a verb, and then oftentimes something that's a quasi-negative. And so that got me thinking about what I want to talk about on our show today of responsibility and obligation. So those two words can be pretty powerful, responsibility, obligation and expectation, sorry, obligation and expectation. An obligation, of course, is something you got to do. You are obligated. If you have a job, you're supposed to show up at work. You're supposed to do the job. And an expectation goes very closely with obligation, except expectation might even be worse in that it's not that you have to, in the sense of it's not an obligation like a job, but it's still expected of you. So my wife expects me to do this. My parents expect me to do that. You know, I'm living up to other people's expectations, and that might even be more negative than just obligation. But in both cases, they can be weighty, and they're not always bad. You know, I mean, expectation is not always a negative term. I'm expecting my president in the mail. I'm expecting a raise. I'm expecting, you know, you can expect good things. But when we talk about living up to expectation, then it becomes a heavier and oftentimes less positive thing. And, you know, if you're in a relationship, trying to live up to expectations or a sense of obligation can be really negative. And a lot of, you know, relationships and couples might struggle with trying to live up to each other's expectations. And newlyweds, I work with preparing people for marriage, and one of the things that we come back to again and again is people don't expect what they get and don't get what they expect, because they might have unrealistic expectations. And so you expect your new wife or new husband is going to act a certain way, and then that's not how it works, and it's not what you expected. And so then oftentimes you might try to enforce your expectations. Say, well, come on, I thought you were going to be like this, or I thought it was going to be like this. I thought marriage was going to be like this, and it's not. And well, then it kind of becomes pretty negative. And, you know, the same with a lot of things. You know, for me, working at a church, people come in with a lot of expectations. I still run into it. I have people who sometimes they just kind of almost out of the blue get mad at me. And it's because I haven't lived up to an expectation that they had. And most of the time they assume that their expectation is reasonable. They assume that I should know that that's an expectation. And of course, the biggest assumption is, and I am supposed to meet their expectation. And that can become a negative for both of us, because I'm sitting there going, I can't do that. And especially if I don't even know it. And they're like, well, you're a complete failure because you did not do what you're supposed to do. At least how I interpreted that. And so, it becomes hard. And an obligation, of course, is a little different. Obligation is, you know, something usually it's rare that you wouldn't know you have an obligation, though sometimes they can be sneaky. But most of the time we're aware, we're supposed to do things and we're obligated. You know, come tax time, you're supposed to file your taxes. And if you pay. You're obligated when you go to the grocery store to pay the bill. There are certain things that you just have to do. But when things become obligations, they become less fun. I remember when I was a kid, I would sometimes get an idea of something I would do. You know, I'm going to surprise my parents. I'm going to wash the dishes. Oh, yeah, I'm going to surprise them. I'm going to get the dishes washed. I'm going to come in and the dishes will be clean. It'll be cool. And I'm all excited to wash the dishes. And then before I get to it, my mom or my dad might say, so Ira, make sure you wash the dishes. And now I don't want to. Now I'm not interested in washing the dishes. In fact, I actively despise this idea now. I do not want to wash the dishes. Why? Because now it's an obligation. A minute ago, I was eager to. And now that I've been asked to, I so don't want to do it. And I remember feeling that way. And so now, of course, I have children. And I see the exact same thing at work. That all I have to do to totally demotivate my own children and get them to not want to do something is to ask them to do it, to give them instruction. And it becomes an obligation, and they don't want to do it. So, you know, and this is our human nature. So, of course, the interesting thing is how this affects how we relate to God. And a lot of religion, including when people religiousize Christianity, is built around expectation and obligation. Where, you know, God has certain expectations for you and certain obligations for you, and you have to meet them. And of course, the problem is that actually makes it become burdensome. Well, I'm supposed to go to church. Well, I'm supposed to give 10%. God expects me to be happy. But I don't like what's going on. You know, things like that. And we're faced with obligation and expectation that causes us maybe to be a little resentful or resistant to God. And of course, you can be naturally resistant anyway, and that doesn't help. Now, what's interesting is if you read the Bible and you read it through and look at what God is saying, what Jesus does, what you'll see is that actually, not being religious, God comes and says, listen, I'm trying to build a relationship here. And it starts with something other than obligation and living up to expectation. Because God does things he's not obligated to do, and he actually does things you wouldn't expect. So right there, blowing the thing up. Because, of course, as far as obligation goes, God had no obligation to us other than to just bring judgment on people who are rebellious, which all of us are. And instead, God says, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to bring that punishment. I'm going to pay for the punishment. Whoa, well, he's not obligated to do that. And we wouldn't expect that. And so God comes to us and he subverts expectation and obligation by doing something he's not obligated to do and doing something we wouldn't expect, grace and mercy and love. Maybe we'd expect love. But then, that act doesn't just subvert the setup, it changes our whole approach to how we relate to God. Because then God says, all right, now I've taken care of this, so now I'm inviting you in. And our response to God is not supposed to really be defined by obligation and expectation. But instead, if I can just, you know, play with words a little here, it's supposed to be defined by opportunity and expression. So instead of obligation, well, God wants this. God gives us an opportunity. He says, listen, I'm going to give this to you, and you have the opportunity to respond. You can receive it. It's a gift. And instead of expectation, where, well, I'm trying to live up to God's expectation, instead, I can just express gratitude. I can express joy. I can come to him and just share even sorrow. As you read through the Psalms, you see David and some of the other psalmists expressing anger, sorrow, joy, all kinds of things. And instead of saying, well, God expects a certain thing, they're just real. You know, and they still have a lot to learn, and they're learning from God, but the relationship is characterized in a much more healthy relationship dynamic of expectation and opportunity. As I have the opportunity to connect with God, not an obligation to. It's good for me to do this. And I should want to, not because I'm obligated to, but because God did something he wasn't obligated to do, which was reach out to me and love me and die for me and pay for my way. God has created an opportunity for me to come and come into his presence and experience an amazing relationship with him that God describes as being like a loving father and son. The Bible says, behold, what kind of love the Father has for us that he would call us his kids. And another writer in the Bible said that now we call out to God and we call him Daddy. It's called Abba Father, but Abba is just they didn't translate the word. It just means Daddy. And so it's this idea that instead of an obligation to God, you have the opportunity for an intimate, special, close relationship with God. Where instead of living up to expectation, you can express who you are. And that changes everything. So how do you relate to God? Expectation, obligation, or opportunity and expression? Think about that today as you go through your day.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.